FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's Kerry Lutz, and markets so volatile now, fear of financial doom and impending collapse. What's the dollar going to do? Is inflation going to kick up with a vengeance? And the interesting thing is, in the mainstream investment community, you have very few choices, very few ways to protect yourself. And one fund that is trying to change that and trying to make a difference, if you will. Well, I've got the head of that fund on with us right now. We're talking about FMTAdvisory.com. His name is Nicholas Green. And Nicholas, you've been a fiduciary advisor since 2003, very experienced value investor. You focus on preserving and building the wealth of your clients. And what I really like is protecting them from the injustices of Wall Street, as you say here. And you represent your clients. You don't represent companies or banks, which is perhaps a bit unusual in this day and age. And that's why we're having you on the show. We're really pleased that you came on.
Well, I am very pleased to be on your show, Kerry, and you've had amazing thought leaders on your program. And I chime in myself. And I love some of the content. And in fact, you're a great thought leader yourself. So it's a true pleasure to be on your show today.
Well, I'm flattered you think that. My goal, not so much to interject my views in, my views are very clear, but to act as a messenger or somebody who can disseminate people who are more in the know than myself, like you. And I find
that... you're too modest. You're very modest.
But that's okay.
That's the people like humility. And so that's why you're well-liked persona out there.
Well, I appreciate that. And these really are uncertain times. And, you know, it seems like if you're an average investor, you zig when you should zag, you zag when you should zig. And you're spending so much time just trying to not go broke and to support your family that, you know, you really can't keep up with this.
Yeah, these are definitely, from a financial survival perspective or a financial, you know, personal management perspective, these times are definitely uncharted. So you have to think in uncharted ways. And one of the things you said in the introduction, which I, by the way, I appreciate, that was great, as being a fiduciary, in that we don't work for a bank or we don't work for a broker dealer. As fiduciaries, only 96% of all the entire industry can't claim they're a fiduciary, which means you have a legal obligation to put your client's interest first. So if you think about that, it's interesting. Most of the industry doesn't have any legal obligation to put their own clients first. And so we fall within that 4% category. And so that's one of the things we bring to the table, is that, you know, whatever we say, we're going to give it to you straight. And one of the things that is definitely true about today's economy and the track that this country is on, which is off the tracks, you know, you need to hear different perspectives and, you know, look into sort of alternative viewpoints, which is, you know, one of the things your show provides and one of the things our firm provides for money management. And you're right. The markets zig and they zag, and you need to be more extreme now than ever in, you know, personal portfolio management.
Yeah. And that brings us to FMT Advisory. What led you to get involved with it?
Sure. So I have some partners and we're very, very like-minded. And so as an advisor, I was, you know, sort of a one-man shop for a while. And I decided that I wanted to build something bigger and be more helpful to a bigger part of society. And so with my partners, we have a platform that's more capable of doing that. And so that's where we are now. You know, we're fast and growing firm at this point. And it's fantastic having great partners where we're in it to truly help people at a low cost in an environment where people need alternative viewpoints. And that's something they weren't getting. And so I consider us sort of an alternative in the alt space, and we're bringing it every day to the table with some of the greatest research that, you know, you can really delve into, and we have some proprietary models that don't exist out there in the marketplace. And so we're just very excited to bring this forward for people. And that's a little bit of the background there.
Yeah. And what I like is that that you really look at managing the risk, much of which is not perceived, certainly by the mainstream financial geniuses and the mainstream financial media. They just ignore it. And but there's a lot of risk out there that average investors don't get.
They don't get it. And the average investor, it's amazing because when you look at the New York Stock Exchange margin debt, you know, we're still near all-time highs. That's come down a little bit. But every time margin debt gets this high, which just means people are invested in financial markets and they're using margin or they're going on leverage to do it. So they have $100 in the market of their own money, but they've got 140, you know, 150% invested. And those are the exact moments where markets tend to peak, like as a example, 2000 margin, New York Stock Exchange margin debt hit about these levels, 2008. And then, of course, you know, one of the mother of all New York Stock Exchange margin debt eras were 1929 at the 1929 peak. And so people are unaware of the risk. And one of the things I've been saying that I think is you know, simple, but it's a good tagline, I believe, which is, you know, plan on the worst. So do some worst case planning, but then also invest in the best. And so I believe that's one of the winning strategies today, is because we are in historical times. You have some extreme viewpoints from a Harry Dent that believes we'll go into a 1930s style debt deflation where the Dow hits 3,000 and the entire economy collapses on itself. And then you have the hyperinflationists that believe, you know, gold's going to 10,000 and the dollar is going to zero. And so how do you manage money in this? And how do you prepare and protect your family in this sort of environment? And so I think we help, and as a chief investment officer, I help sort of demensify this whole sort of environment, which is, you know, you just put things in perspective. And if you look at the 1929, 1930s, if you assume that Harry Dent's right, you know, the purchasing power of the dollar went up by 700% because everyone that were leveraged with their farm, real estate, with their 90% margin loans in the stock market, their over-leveraged housing market, they lost everything and then some, right? So when you're on margin and it starts going down, you start getting margin calls and you don't have money to cover the margin calls, you end up with not a negative, you don't end up broke, you end up more than broke. And that's essentially what happened back in the 1930s. And so anyone holding cash, real cash, and more in a leveraged position personally, their dollars bought things pennies on the dollar. So if you look at a portfolio managed perspective, how do you sort of handicap that? Well, if you keep 15 to 20% of your financial assets in emergency cash and liquid assets, and we went into a Harry Dent scenario deflationary type crash, the purchasing power of your cash will go up roughly 600 to 700%, which means that covers the rest of your portfolio. So even if the 80% of your assets went to zero, you're 15, 20% in cash, as long as you're not leveraged with the rest of your portfolio, will more than carry you forward, even if we were to hit something as dire as the 1930s. I don't personally believe that's the direction we're heading, and the reason why is because if you look around today, governments are essentially levered hedge funds to financial markets. Our own government, if you look at their tax revenue, their tax revenue is tied to the stock market with a nearly 1-to-1 ratio. So if the market is going down, and the tax revenues for the government is going down, if the market is going up, the tax revenues increase. And so, you know, with the debt ceiling now being pushed to nearly $20 trillion, over $18 trillion in official debt, and already pretty big deficit on a cash basis for the government. Our government can't afford the 1930s. In the 1930s, our government had very little debt. We were on a gold standard, and it was the private sector that was in trouble. with the speculators in the stock market and in the real estate market. Today, it's the office. It's the governments around the world, whether you're talking about the United States, the Japanese government, Europe, the list goes on and on. But it's the governments around the world that are levered and over-levered. And so the last thing that governments can allow is sort of a debt deflation takedown. And I'm not extrapolating that governments have all the power and they can arrest markets. But what governments can do and what central banks can do is they can create inflation by monetizing government debt and increasing spending. That's why we'll never see the debt ceiling not be increased. Because as soon as they stop the debt ceiling being increased, that will stall and you'll see a debt collapse. And so that's not my scenario. But one way to plan for a scenario where the government's behind the curve, the central banks are behind the curve, is you keep enough in cash, 15-20%. If that scenario happens, your purchasing power goes up 700%. It more than covers the rest of your portfolio. Right. And then if you kind of move out from there, right, and you put 10-15% in precious metals, which have worked at every juncture along this valuation metric in financial markets, having 10-15%, it worked in 1929, it worked in the 1960s, 1970s, and it worked in 2000 when the ratios get this high with financial markets to a real asset like gold. Gold has ended up working out 100% of the time, even in the 1930s. So keeping 10-15% of your liquid assets in gold, it's a barbell strategy that will offset your cash if the central banks keep printing, if we keep interest rates below the real rate of inflation, if, which I think is all pretty much a given, all these things will happen over time. So gold will be a protection against holding your dollars or too much of your wealth in fiat. And so you've got this barbell strategy. And right there, you've done a lot of planning for worst case scenarios with something really simple, right? Dimensifying these extreme viewpoints, you can diversify by just keeping a good chunk in cash, good chunk in precious metals. And so that's partly what I would call some planning on some worst case scenarios. And then you want to move on from there, and then you want to invest in some of the best. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a winning strategy today.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense because then you're covered in both ends. And yeah, I can't see this crazy deflationary thing happening unless these derivatives really blow up and then the banks collapse. And I just don't see the central banks of the world allowing the banks to collapse. And one thing that you mentioned that I thought was really poignant is that you can't allow debt to go down, Nick, because if you do, that's where the thing collapses. And in fact, the correspondence also between Wall Street and government tax revenue and financing the government, it's even worse than you said, because if you look in New York and New York State, they are totally dependent upon Wall Street, the well-being, quote unquote, well-being of Wall Street, and even slight deviations of Wall Street earnings is just anathema to the city
you're
and
at the
state.
Epicenter, right?
Yeah. Well,
no question. It's abbreviated in New York, no question about it, since it is the financial center of the country. Mm-hmm. You nailed it on the head there. You see it firsthand.
Yeah, well, I'm in Florida now, but I was there for a lot of years, and my friends were all on Wall Street, and none of them foresaw any of this happening. And, to me, it was always a foregone conclusion that the debt was going to spiral out of control. It just had to happen because when you have debt growing faster than GDP, real GDP, real wealth creation, that means that eventually you're not going to be able to service that debt.
That's right. And I think you can make a case today that already the amount of debt in the system is already unserviceable by the real production of our economy. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can see that in the gaps between income and debt ratios. And just on a more sort of, if you just narrow it down, that's exactly what toppled us in 2008, 2009 was the real income production of, you know, U.S. citizens overall couldn't sustain the mortgage notes. And so the only thing that was able to keep that going was ever increasing home prices, where cash out refinances kept the game going. And so it wasn't real production. It wasn't real income supporting those asset prices. It was sort of the Ponzi. And you can just take that microcosm and extrapolate its entire world today. You know, the income of the working people can't really support the debt loads that the governments have taken on over the world. And so they have no choice, and it's what governments have historically chosen. But, you know, they've essentially chosen in 2009 here in the United States, which is, we're going to try to inflate out of this. Mm-hmm. And hence the nonstop interference in just about everything since then, between QE1, QE2, QE3, Operation Twist, 0% mm-hmm. interest rates, portfolio balance channel. You know, they've been all in, plus, the U.S. government with TARP and TALF. And then you got, you know, cars for junkers. I mean, these are all just indications that they will do what it takes at the end of the day to create inflation in the base currencies, versus admitting to the population, like, look, we can't afford all the promises. And we also know that, you know, the economy can't support the debt and the leverage in the system. So, you know, we'll keep, you know, the financial chicory going.
Yeah.
And it's essentially where we are today.
Yeah, well, like Dr. Johnson said about second marriages, the triumph of hope over experience, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's what we've got now, because we know pretty much something has to give. It's unsustainable in its current form, which gets back to your strategy of really planning to protect against both eventualities, because we could conceivably have both happen at the same time. Right? I mean, one then the other, or certain things, prices crash on certain things and they go up on necessities, right? Nobody, everybody stops buying cars, but they don't stop buying food. Price of food and the things you need, energy, go skyrocketing, and the price of luxuries or non-necessities implode.
Well, and it's funny, because one of the constructs that are sort of have kept this rolling along is just that, it's very fortunate for our policymakers in Congress overall that, you know, oil has had a big haircut, because it has dropped the price of you know, filling up gasoline. And normally this would be a stimulus in the economy, but yeah. It's a no stimulus because of the inflation that you're referring to and the things that people need. And if you look at rental inflation since the Great Recession started in 2008 and 2009, rental inflation has been enormous. On average, it's been 4% compounded annual inflation in rent, which 4% annually doesn't sound a lot, but 4% compounded over eight years adds up to a significant amount of money for folks whose wages are not keeping up with the real rate of inflation. And so you have a huge chunk of discretionary spending, more of it going to rental inflation than in a long, long time, in decades. And then on top of it, you've got ever increasing rates of inflation in healthcare. Healthcare now accounts for 17% of our entire economy. But the healthcare, I mean, this could be an entire interview alone, but the healthcare system is just in complete shambles, which is just wrecking the middle class and lower middle class especially, because the premiums and the deductibles are just ever increasing. And under Obamacare, for example, if you liked your plan, you can keep your plan. Well, those plans, if you are a business owner, small business, and you're buying your own insurance, those private insurance plans are going up 20%+ annualized. If you can invest in the increase in annualized increases in premiums and health insurance, that would be like the biggest no-brainer trade ever. And they're able to do this because they know they can increase those premiums, because they're still more competitive than the Obamacare gold, silver, platinum plans. Those are still more expensive than private insurance. And so the Affordable Care Act is, you know, like everything the government does, it's the opposite. It's the Unaffordable Health Care Act that is a huge boon for the health insurance and you know, the health industry. That's really the sick care industry, but so you're seeing a lot of inflation in the things people need, whether it's health insurance, whether it's rent, whether it's college tuition is another disaster where you have 5-7% annualized increases in inflation compounding, and you've got 50% of 25-year-olds living in their basement because they're sitting on $35,000 in average student loan debt, and which is what's turning this country into a nation of renters, and the 0% interest rates, pulling forward rates of return in the housing market, because when you drop rates to zero, it entices investors because they can leverage up by financing big purchases in real estate. In my area, there's a hedge fund that were buying rental homes by the hundreds just a few years ago, driving the prices straight up. And that's not helping America, right? That's helping a certain segment of the economy. And so for lower middle class Americans and people below that, they're really getting hosed over under our current policies. And this is a great country, but it's completely, we need a complete new overhaul and new leadership, and Congress should just be fired. They should go, all of them.
Well, I just wanted to tell you about something. When you talk about the outrageous cost of medical care, one of our partners is an outfit called Liberty Health Share, and it's a, what would you call it? A health cost sharing ministry. And don't let the religious thing throw you off. But what it enables you to, do is actually join in a health care cost community where everybody shares their bills. They pay them together. And this thing is taking off. It's exempt from regulation under Obamacare. Their administrative costs, less than 5% of premiums. My personal bills went from $1,150 a month to $199. Now, granted, there's no guarantee that they're going to pay any bill. They specifically say that. But as a point of fact, this guy who runs it, Dale Bell, has been doing this since 88. And I've read reviews. I've talked to doctors who accept it and are on the plan. And this thing is the antidote, that, as far as I can tell. So, it's one place where you can really save a fortune and save your gas money, basically.
And this is one of the things I think, Kerry, that makes a show like yours so valuable, because you're really helping people in this new economy. And, that we're all in this together, right? And we all want a better America. And we're seeing an America that's not getting better. So we're all working together, essentially, as a team, whether you're, Kerry Lutz or Nicholas Green or FMT Advisory or anyone else in the alternative media. We're sort of, we're finding this network together, and we're like, how can we beat this? How can we improve our lives? And that is great. In fact, I am going to check on that as soon as I get off the interview with you, because I am paying, I'm a business owner and I pay for insurance privately.
You're paying thousands a month. You've got family, you got kids in there. I know. And I did my due diligence on it. I wouldn't have taken him on as a partner had I not. But these are things that you can do, such as going to FMT Advisory and checking out the site here. Just tell us, Nicholas, how we contact you, how we get more information about what you're doing.
Sure. So one of the things people can do to get more acquainted with us over time and learn more about us is just go to fmtadvisory.com, and you can sign up for what I call our new economy revolution, which is exactly what we're talking about here, directing people to health insurance that can significantly lower their costs and improve their standard of living. That is absolutely remarkable, a great information that people can get. And they can get similar information on managing their portfolio and those types of things. They can get on email us. It's completely free, no cost, no obligation. You just sign up for our email, and I send out a lot of content and material myself through my writings. And if they'd like to reach me by phone, I'm available. We have a toll-free number at 888-649-6556. And we more than welcome inquiries. And in fact, again, we're all on the same team. And as a fiduciary, we're on the same side of the table. So we definitely welcome inquiries into our business.
Absolutely. I love what you're doing. I think you really need to take a look at it, because it always pays to have insurance. And especially when the value of your insurance, one way or the other, really isn't going to be affected. It's like buying whole life, I guess, with a bigger kicker at the end, because whole life, you got to die to get the death benefit, and then you can't get it. It's your heirs. But seriously, as always, you'll find a link to FMT Advisory and to Nicholas on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And don't forget, along these lines, our webinar is coming up November 5th, how to pay off your mortgage in 5 to 7 years without really trying. Keep an eye open on your mailbox. We'll be sending another notification next day or so. Nicholas, really a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us, and we will definitely have you back on again.
Thank you for having me, Kerry. It's been great chatting with you today.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.